the shed, me lovely little shed. Might as well get a Chesterfield, the toilet and the bed. It's the only place where I can go and tinker with my toys. Go and find solitude with a bunch of ugly guys.
Be break.
Hello, I'm Patrick from the Froome Men's Shed. This is Shed Happens, even when you're socially isolating, again. Now, men's, women's and community sheds worldwide provide people with a space to work together on practical projects. The people who go to their sheds, we call them shedders, work on projects for themselves, other charities and others in the community. We hope this show, running during the lockdown in England, helps listeners to better deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. Whether you're locked down, emerging from being locked down, or restricted under some complex tiering system, which not many people understand anyway, but wherever you are in the country, we hope that this will help you in some way. Here's a trailer of what you can expect to hear in the show today.
Welcome to Shed Happens in Glorious Stereo, broadcasting around the UK and around the world. In today's show...
Every chap should have a mini digger. They are brilliant.
I mean, I can be rude to Karen and she doesn't react.
Don't worry, Karen. He's very rude to me too.
I am feeling anxious. I'm feeling depressed.
The sheds were a fantastic place because they're non-judgmental.
Got the lecture in the bathroom as well.
Told you not to mention that.
This is a great thing that's happening in Whitby. Could it happen in your area?
Shed happens even when you're self-isolating. So, self-isolate responsibly.
Now, we're delighted to be joined today by some shedders from sheds in the Whitby area, and also from Karen Atkinson in an organisation called Stronger Communities, part of North Yorkshire Council. So thank you, Karen, for joining us. In the studio today, we have Karen and shedders Graham Storer, Bob Hodge, Lance Garrard, Robert Shilson, and Betty Ward. And in our virtual studio in the UK, everyone's socially distancing, by the way, in our virtual studio in the UK, we have Kate Gordon from the UK Men's Shed Association, the Shed Development Manager, and PJ, a Froome tech shedder and Froome volunteer, Froome FM volunteer here in the UK. So morning, everyone.
Morning.
Now, look, I'm going to put everyone on the spot a bit and go around our guests. Will you please introduce yourself briefly? And in these very gloomy times, if you've got a piece of good news to report, then please do so. I mean, I shall cheat and say, I'm Patrick. I work in the Froome shed, and I'm very pleased that the vaccine is looking a little more hopeful than it was last week. But I'd like to go to PJ first of all, maybe you can give us some good news and introduce yourself a bit, PJ.
Yeah, well, as I say, I'm a member of the Froome Tech Shed and work at Froome FM. I spend most of my summers working at festivals. Unfortunately, this year there haven't been any, so I found myself helping a friend out on a farm, which has given me an excuse to buy a mini digger. Every chap should have a mini digger. They are brilliant. I really recommend it.
PJ, send us a photograph of your mini digger. We'll put it on the show page website.
Careful what you ask for. I've got loads.
Karen Atkinson, have you got some good news that you can share with us?
Hi, I'm Karen Atkinson. I'm from Stronger Communities, North Yorkshire County Council. And my news isn't as impressive as your mini digger, but my news is that I've completed my Christmas shopping for this year.
Oh, well done.
Very good.
Graham, maybe. Graham, could you introduce yourself and give us your good news?
I'm Graham Storer. I originated in the south, but I moved north to Whitby. So I'm a southerner in the north and an ambassador up here. Or at least I do my best. My bit of good news is my two grandsons up here, across the moor, full of moors up here, and they're using a lathe and they're making pens. They're turning pens and selling them for the princely sum of £10. But it's had to be pointed out by their father that it's not all profit. You know? So that's my good news, is my two grandsons and what they're doing.
Good news, Graham. Kate,
I'm Kate. I'm Shed Development Manager for the UK Men's Shed Association. Apart from the outcome of the American election and Trump no longer being in the White House, my bit of good news is that my little dog, Squidgy, is a fully qualified therapy dog. She passed her, me and her passed her assessment, it was about 3 weeks ago, wasn't it? So she passed with flying colours. I think she was more sceptical about me, but the dog is now officially a therapy dog, so we can go out and do some visits to schools, visits to prisons, visit to care homes. Of course, not quite much at the moment, but eventually once things free up.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well done, Kate. Well done, Squidgy.
Squidgy.
Thank you, Kate. Let's go to Rob Shilson.
Morning, Patrick. Morning, all. Rob Shilson from Whitby Sheds and previously from Northampton and Milton Keynes Sheds. My good news is that just before the meeting or the start-up of Zoom, a book arrived, which I'd ordered, which is called Zen Flesh, Zen Bones, and it's by Paul Reps. I'll just hold it up for those that can see it. And it's a book full of about 90 short Zen stories, which is absolutely fantastic.
Good news. And Betty, second time Zoom user only.
Well, I'm Betty and I'm from the Whitby Women's Shed. I live quite close by where it is. And I think my good news is it looks as though the sun may come out today, which would be very nice.
Good stuff. Lance Garrard.
Hi, everybody. My name's Lance Garrard. I'm one of the tutors at the Whitby Ladies Shed. I suppose my good news is I've just finished making a dovecot for Sal, but actually it's a dovecot that I made years ago for Her Majesty the Queen.
There's more to that story. I'm sure it's going to come out later, Lance. Thank you. Bob Hodge.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm a member of the what used to be the Little Beck Shed, which is now here in Slight, together with Graham. And during the lockdown, we found something to do. I'm making some rustic chairs, tiny chairs, and which have a teddy bear in them, which appeals to quite a lot of people, I hope. And yes, so at least while we're going through this lockdown, you know, we've got something to do. So I'm quite enjoying it, and it's just like being at the shed, but without the rest of the people that normally would be with us.
Thank you, Bob. Well, I'm pleased everyone's keeping really quite so busy, you know, with dovecots and mini diggers and book reading and everything else. So well done. Here's some news sent to us by sheds around the UK. The North Walsham Shed in Norfolk are looking for new premises. If you can help, be in touch. The Clevedon Shed near Bristol are planning to launch an extra service called Breakout Days. This is for all of those in the community adversely affected by the lockdown and restrictions, and who may be anxious or unhappy. Their idea is to help prevent developing mental health issues. And our very best wishes go to David Young from the Clevedon Shed, who sent us that update. And also thanks to Rob Webb from the Nettlestone and Seaview Shed on the Isle of Wight. Their shedders are known as Nashers, and they're working individually on their own driveways and workbenches to produce Christmas pallet trees for the community partnership. If you can help or want any information or see photos on these pieces of shed news, then please visit shedhappens.uk show pages for their contact details. And here's some news from the UK Men's Shed Association. Kate.
It is with regret that after nearly 3 years, Nathan Saria has stepped down today as chairman of UK Men's Shed Association. We would like to thank Nathan for his contribution to UKMSA during this period of growth and development, and we wish him well for the future. Vice Chairman John Latchford will step in temporarily to lead the organisation in promoting and supporting the shed movement.
Thank you, Kate. And we're very lucky to have John Latchford on the line right now. So, John, maybe say a few words.
Hi, everyone. I'm John Latchford. I've taken over, as you just heard, as chairman. I'd like to add to what's been said and to thank Nathan for all his work for sheds over the last few years. Just to say who I am, I'm a member of Amersham Shed in Buckinghamshire since 2016. I've been a chairman of that shed for a while now. I became an ambassador and then a trustee in the last couple of years. I've some experience of being a trustee and a chair of trustees through my work in volunteer work in scouting. For those who don't know me, I'm retired. I like woodwork. Some of you will have seen my contributions to UK Men's Shed's Facebook page on that subject. Also, I really enjoy traveling. And I live in, as I say, in Buckinghamshire with my wife, Viv, and a 9-year-old Springer Labrador cross called Ralph. So hopefully I'll hear from more of you and see more of you over the next few months. Good luck, everyone, and stay safe.
Thank you very much indeed for the message, Kate. And from John, thank you, John. And thank you for stepping in on this. Thank you for your design for Sparrow Towers, which is the 7-room bird box for sparrows, which I've recently copied. So thank you for that. Okay, so thanks for that message, Kate and John. This follows really a series of changes in the wider men's shed movement during the COVID crisis. At the end of June this year, the Scottish Men's Shed Association chairman, Derek Keeler, stepped down after 4 years on the board as chairman. And the end of October, Barry Sheridan, chief exec of the Irish Men's Shed Association, stood down after almost 6 years. And now Nathan, after 3 years as chairman here in UK MSA. Now, Nathan Saria took part in our first Shed Happens way back on the 25th of March, just 2 days after the first initial lockdown. I guess leading men's sheds associations during the pandemic is very tough. So our thanks to those three for their hefty contributions over these years. And thanks to the people who've replaced them. They all express their thanks for the generosity and dedication of thousands of shedders and volunteers across the UK, Ireland and beyond. And I'm hoping that none of these three will be strangers to the men's shed movement in the years ahead. So thanks again. Okay, well, look, maybe Kate, can you kick off with Graham and get an understanding of what this Whitby area sheds is all about?
Yeah, sure. Well, Graham, do you remember that Whitby Men's Shed was my first ever shed experience? Do you remember that? How many years ago?
I remember you very much as a virgin to sheds.
Yeah, off I got in my car, and it was for about 3 hours I travelled. And I think it was definitely cold when I came up to see you, but
well, it always is.
At that point, you had one very open shed, and then there was one that was actually opening on the day, I think, that I turned up. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your journey and you know how you became greedy with sheds?
You've only got a couple of minutes. I saw sheds in Australia. That was a very strong influence. But I knew I needed something like that as I got older. Simple as that. But I wasn't ready to start anything. And it was only, in a sense, because of a disappointment that I suddenly decided, damn it, I'm going to start a shed. Because I'd found half a dozen guys like me who felt disconnected from life. I mean, I was a southerner in a northern empire, and it ain't always easy. They think differently. that's really what spurred me on. We did a little bit, and Bob was part of that and others, and it really took off. It was clear that it was something that was needed. We then moved. We had a couple of women there. By the way, I was experimenting with women very early. And we had one from Germany for a few months and another from equally distant Redcar up the coast. Both of them came and both of them hugely benefited from it. I mean, we joke about it, but actually very seriously, both of them so benefited from that experience. And from that, I knew that sheds worked for some women, just as they work for some men. That's how we got going then with the Whitby Women's Shed. It's how we then obviously moved a men's shed or started a men's shed at the same premises in Whitby. Scouts, by the way, I'll put a plug in for them. And then we moved up the coast to Staithes. And that's the one you came to, and we sat there not knowing who was going to come. And not many did.
And there was quite a few that came along, wasn't there? Actually?
Well, okay. They were probably hired extras. But it wasn't the queue that we anticipated. But no, it was good. And it was good to share with you. And this was before she was appointed.
That's right. You sowed the seed, didn't you? And the reason I initially connected with you, Graham, was because I was very interested in the idea of intergenerational work. And that's something that you're quite passionate about as well, isn't it? Can I say a little bit about that?
very passionate about it. In fact, I've just been writing this morning up to about 5 minutes before we started an item for the local paper working with North Yorkshire youth. And one of the things that we're doing, we need to look at youth right across the board. It's a critical situation with children, young people, families. Right? I think we can all recognise that. But one of the things, the exciting things is we plan to use our existing shed premises plus at least one place that North Yorkshire youth have got access to in Whitby and start what is effectively mini apprenticeships. We're calling them youth sheds. I had a youth shed here in Slights where I live, but that was more a youth club. This will be fewer young people, but really hands-on getting experience. I've seen the benefits of this through the two young people that I spoke about at the beginning, my two grandsons. I see how they've benefited, and I want other young people to benefit too.
That sounds like they're shed eyes, then. Is that right?
they avoid me.
From a shed eye into a true shedder, is that right? Is that how it works? So tell me about the shed situation now, because I know that you have been impacted by COVID-19 in terms of one of your premises, haven't you? So what's the current situation with the sheds and whether you've managed to open?
They're of course all closed at the moment. But the interesting news, Betty, by the way, at the beginning said she lived very close to the Whitby shed, and that's a scout hall, and she lives at a cottage immediately behind it. So she rolls out of bed and comes to the shed. Simple as that. I'm now in the same situation. We had to leave Little Beck because we lost the premises there that housed the big equipment. So we've actually moved into my garage, double garage, and I've got a caravan awning over one of the doors. So that's our lounge. But of course, we now can't use it. We were using it, happily socially distanced. But at the moment, it's not in use other than me going in there and Bob going in there to work on his walking sticks. So that's the situation we're in. Looking forward to being open yet again, because one of the things that was very clear when we came back from the first lockdown was that we so needed the sheds. And that was across the board. And people, it surprised me how much they'd missed it and how much they appreciated it. So it's
and true. Sheds will be a crucial part of the recovery, in sort of working our way back out of there. And quite often it does seem that the journey of a shed or shed group, because it's not necessarily about the premises or the tools, it's about the people, isn't it, can be nomadic. You can start off in one premises and then you have to go to another one and you have to go to another one. So are you looking beyond your garage, Graham, already, or are you kind of just sitting tight to see how things
are? Yeah, we are. It's very convenient.
For you?
My wife doesn't mind. She actually sees me now. But we do need other premises. But these things are not easy. Getting shed premises is very, very hard.
Even in the Northeast, where it's less demand?
Of course it is. And particularly Whitby. Whitby is a real tourist place. And the shops, some shops are closed, but they'll reopen again quite quickly, really, because it's the tourist trade. Mm. But there are other parts of North Yorkshire or abutting North Yorkshire, like Redcar, where they are still touristy a bit, but not like Whitby. And there have been significant problems, really. So
thank you very much indeed. And congratulations to your wife about not minding having a shed in the double garage. she deserves a pat on the back. I'd like to move to Karen, because we're very pleased to have Karen join us. And maybe PJ, you could explore stronger communities. Hi Karen, good to see you.
Yeah, the stronger communities is a sort of phrase that many councils come up with, but they always seem to be somewhere near the top of the list when it comes to financial cuts. So I just wonder if you'd like to explain some of the programs that you have underway and how you're managing to cope with the dwindling resources available to them.
Stronger Communities as a programme started in 2014, in the autumn of 2014. It was an entirely new programme, partially to support, as you mentioned, the sort of cuts that were happening in order to try and help mitigate the impacts or the worst impacts on those most vulnerable in societies. But it was also, and I think this is the area we've really developed, a celebration of what's out there, of community assets.
Do you find, I mean, I noticed that you have some fairly, those programmes that give pause for thought, self-harm, suicide prevention, domestic violence, and children's issues. Do you find that the shed movement, or the because you seem to have an outbreak of sheds in the Whitby area, do you find that that's a good conduit through which to spread some of this information, and that there is help available?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we found that obviously formal organisations are great, but sometimes people aren't ready for that. They're not, you know, they don't want to, you know, go somewhere and maybe hear really difficult things. So instead, just, you know, working side by side on a lathe, and it's just being able to talk to somebody, being among friends, being amongst people who are trusted. And sometimes for many people, they can actually say something or explore some of the feelings that they would never do in a more formal setting, because, you know, it's hard for people to actually come forward and say, I've got a problem, you know, I am feeling anxious, I'm feeling depressed, I'm feeling suicidal. People keep all that information inside and don't want to burden other people, but sometimes just working together, it comes out, and then you can get the right support. And it's that knowing that you're with a band of other people that understand, love you and trust you, and really, you know, sort of are there for you, an extended family, and that can make all the difference. You know, we're supporting all those conversations within communities. That's what makes communities stronger, and it's not sort of necessarily council services, it's people together.
Thank you very much indeed for your support for sheds and other community groups in North Yorkshire, and all of your six other co-workers across all the districts. Fantastic job. Well done.
Just let me slot in on the end of what has just been said by Karen. What is important is there are many people that are collaborating here. And so there are other bodies up here. There's the Two Ridings Community Foundation. They're very active. We've got something called Yorkshire Community First. We've got Coast and Vale Community Action. And so all of these bodies actually work together quite tightly, and probably some I haven't even mentioned. It's this collaborative aspect. One other thing I will just add in, there's something called Whitby Community Alliance, and that's about 14 volunteer-based organisations that have begun to work together since just before COVID. So it's not COVID-related, it was initiated before then. And that's proving to be quite effective as a good Zoom talking workshop and moving things forward. So there's much greater transparency, or at least much more information being brought together.
So I think what you're saying is that you work with people closely and you collaborate with them, you build trust and you build understanding. And
absolutely. I mean, I can be rude to Karen and she doesn't react.
Don't worry, Karen, he's very rude to me too.
And me.
Betty, by the way. She's too prim proper and she's a very difficult lady.
Well done, Betty. You'll have to give us lessons to prevent that happening. Anyway, sorry, Graham, let's get back. Briefly about your grants, please.
There's two sets of grants. One stream is sheds. We did need to top up some money, you know, with all that's going on, rentals and all the things that other sheds have had to do, we needed to try and get a little bit more money, and we've managed to do that. The other very important thread in my book is our version of the Froome Compassion Project, which I've followed through you, Patrick, for, I don't know, a couple of years, I suppose, now, and paid a visit last year. And I've just seen the power of it down there. And that's one of the things I've kept pressing. And it looks as if that's coming together, which is totally voluntary, of course, pretty much. Well, the part we're doing is totally voluntary. So it doesn't require a tremendous amount of money. But the other one was to a people called Sirius Mineral Foundation, Minerals Foundation. They were doing a very big project for polyhydrite. And they're mining, and it's very rich in nutrients and all that sort of stuff. Very, very big project indeed, but they did run out of money. So they're now part of Anglo-American, but the charitable side of it, which was set up, that does give grants and has given some previous grants. They granted money for the women's shed, actually. So we went to Sirius, both for some extra money for the sheds, but also with this compassion project. They've come up trumps with that. And that for me is very important. That's going to be the thing that I really sink my heart into. So it's another one of these collaborative things that we need to introduce to, I think, our area. It's not just Whitby Town, it's the rural area.
Congratulations on getting those grants. And I'm going to have to give a plug out to the Froome Compassion Project with a story that came out this morning. As a young man, I think he's in his 20s, called Miley Porritt. He's been a rough sleeper. He went missing for a few days, for a couple of years back. He is working to make waterproof covers for sleeping bags for rough sleepers out of ironing crisp packets together. If you get a chance, have a look at the news. Miley Porritt, MileyPorritt, young man who has launched a business to collect crisp packets and turn it into waterproof covers for rough sleepers. Just to say, you're listening to Shed Happens on Froome FM, 96.6 FM locally, to Froome and on froome.fm /listen now. Now, do get in touch with us. We're looking for lockdown music or any creative ideas as to how better to deal with the COVID restrictions. Please email us at shedhappens@ukmsa.org.uk or visit shedhappens.uk. Okay, Kate, maybe can we move on to chat with Lance and with Betty about the sheds, specifically the women's shed there in Whitby. Now, Lance has got a bit of a buzz on his line, so apologies for that, but we live in difficult times from a technology viewpoint, and I notice even Radio 4 sometimes, people's Zoom connections drop out, so we're not alone. So over to you, Kate.
Yes, it wouldn't be authentic, would it, if it didn't have a few technical issues. Yeah, thanks, Patrick. So as we know, many more sheds are opening their doors to women. And I believe that Whitby was an area that certainly one of the first, I think.
Yes.
So, yeah, it would be, I think we've got Betty and Lance here to tell us a little bit about that. Hello, Betty. Hello, Lance. Can you kind of explain where the idea came from, where the sort of spark of the inspiration came from in the first place?
I met Graham when he was setting the shed up, which was next door to me, and got into conversation, as you do, and I joined when it opened, and the rest is history, so to speak.
And what was it that interested you about becoming part of the shed?
I was going through a bit of a lonely patch in my life. I'd lost my husband a few years before and I'd found it difficult to go out and meet new people. And I started going to the shed and I've really enjoyed it and benefited because everybody's from a different walk of life, from a different part of the country. And we've all ended up in this little shed.
So how many lady members are there?
Well, it fluctuates a bit. We could do with one or two more. But we have a sister from the local priory who comes, and she's very keen. We have a lady from Robin Hood's Bay who comes, who's keen. And then we have a few who like doing craft work. And so they have a little corner where they sit and do that. So we could do one or two more, but we're doing all right.
And Lance, what's your involvement been then with the lady shed?
Well, I suppose my story with the sheds goes back maybe 5 or 6 years, because I used to be a shedder at Littlebeck, and that all arrived because I was very depressed following having a brain tumour, and the pills didn't make me undepressed, it was just a permanent depression. And I don't know how I found it, but I found the Little Brick Shed, and I went along and found that the sheds were a fantastic place because they're non-judgmental. There's no dependency on you telling your story or anything else like that. Anyway, I thoroughly enjoyed the Little Brick Shed, and when Graham set up the Ladies' Shed in Whitby, I said I'd help him out, and I teach there.
I mean, that's really lovely to hear your own journey as well. I mean, I think, you know, people come to sheds for very different reasons, and yes, you know, the authentic story of what it's brought for you is really lovely to hear. It encourages that openness and people speaking out. So thank you for sharing that, Lance. So is it that women and men mix together? Or is it women only sessions? How do the sessions run? Graham's making a very funny face. Go on, Betty, do you want to say?
No, we're usually together. I have to confess, the men are much more experienced with the machinery than what the women are. So they're very useful in that respect. And Lance is the most patient man I've ever met, trying to teach us to wood turn and that sort of thing. So we're very grateful for him.
So Lance makes sure that you're doing things safely and sort of helps you make.
Yes. Yeah. That's
so right. So you have, so do women come whenever they want to all the men's sessions, or do you have specific days where women come and are part of a mixed session? How does it work?
Generally have a women's day, but sometimes for various reasons, if they can't come, they come on the other day. But we mix and get on quite well. Very well, in fact.
Really lovely to hear. Yeah, and it's interesting though, lots of sheds are opening their doors to having women, but of course it's up to the shed to make the decision on whether that's the right thing for them. I know that some sheds have women only sessions, and then some day they have mixed sessions, and sometimes they just have men only sessions, and it's really up to the shed to make the decision on what's right for them. But it's really lovely to hear that. Sounds like it's working really well for you guys, and you're all getting a lot out of it, so that's really lovely to hear.
Yeah, I think we are.
Can I ask Betty, what do you get up to in the shed? Do you do wood turning, or do you do craft work, or what kind of things?
I've had quite a lot of tuition off Lance for wood turning, and do what the men find perhaps menial jobs: paint or varnish or oil or anything that comes my way. I quite enjoy it. If I enjoy it a lot, anyway.
That's really good to hear.
Yeah.
Can I ask Bob too? Bob, maybe you talk a bit about it, because we met in Littlebeck, I think, before it closed. But yeah. What kind of things do you get up to in the shed?
Well, originally when we started the sheds, one of the things that I was doing from home was making hiking sticks, shepherd's crooks and walking sticks. So one morning I was walking past where Graham lives, because I live around the corner from him, and they just moved into the village, and we became friends. And I found that, you know, I think we were very much on the level. And after living 20 years in South Africa and working in the supermarket business over there, I was lost for something to do. So once we started the sheds, at least with something that we could start with, we've got a lathe, we've got a stick making and sticks that we could use for showing guys, teaching guys how to make hiking sticks and shepherd's crooks. And everything has just moved on from there. And now we've gone into making the chairs I spoke about, the rustic chairs, which are tiny, and just take a little teddy bear, because through the lockdown, people have been having teddy bears in the windows. As apart from the rainbow, they've been having teddy bears in the windows.
And Bob, it sounds like you could be making socially distanced sticks as well now, surely, to help make sure people are staying 2 meters apart.
Well, in the time that we've been working in the guard, we've got it all panned out, so that we all work at least 2 to 3 meters away from each other. And it's worked well, actually. But the one thing that we have loved, you know, since coming back over the last month or so, is the banter, because we missed the banter. And, you know, we see each other maybe once or twice a week, but, you know, at those on those days, it's just great to have the guys back and catch up with everyone. And, but that it really has sort of picked up on the banter, you know, which the guys have been missing. And it's worked very well, actually, as the garage.
I'm sure, you know, a lot of sheds have put so many things in place. It's probably safer to go to a shed than it is to go to a local shop, isn't it? You know, quite. Yeah. And so Betty, are you going down? Well, were you going down to the garage, Graham's garage as well?
No, I haven't been. Not yet. I haven't been invited yet, actually.
Oh, there you go. Graham.
You don't need an invite.
I've not asked my wife's permission to have.
All right. Okay.
One thing about working in the garage is, even when Graham's not here, if he's up at Stays or whatever, Joan, Graham's wife, makes a lovely cup of coffee. And it's
can I tell the story of Alexa? Because we've got Alexa. We've got Alexa in the garage, you know, in the shed here. And so if you want a cup of tea, it works wonders. We just say, Alexa, announce. And lo and behold, we announce, Joan, like a cup of tea, you know. And do you know what? It just comes.
That is a shed embracing technology right there.
So Graham, you have a COVID-safe garage with Alexa inbuilt. I'd say that's good stuff.
Got Alexa in the bathroom as well.
Told you not to mention that. But Rob's been doing some very interesting things lately that Betty's been working on.
Correct.
Yeah, go on, tell us about them.
Well, we've been making some games at the shed, which we call Kits for Kids, which is an idea to make some little games that children can put together. And Betty has certainly been helping with sanding, painting, and getting the kits going. And I think if anyone ever looks on the Whitby Vet website, they'll see a picture of her with one of the small beach huts that we've constructed.
Excellent. So, yes, women and men in a shed working to create things for children. Excellent.
Fantastic. And yeah. I should point out that the reason I know Graham was that I rang him up when we were looking to launch the women's shed in Froome for his advice on his experience of launching the women's shed in Whitby. So thank you for that, Graham. That goes back a few years now, I think.
You still did it.
Well, I took your advice. Anyway, look, thank you very much indeed. We may come back a little bit later and talk about some of the lockdown projects which have taken place. But Lance, I would like to ask a question about your dovecot you made for the Queen. Now, you're not subject to, you know, Official Secrets Act, and you're not allowed to talk about it, are you? Can you explain the background to your dovecot and for the Queen?
I suppose it's a funny story, really. I made a greenhouse and I had some spare wood left over. So I made a dovecot that went in the garden. And later on, I got some oak and I thought, oh, I can do a better job. So I made another dovecot out of oak. Anyway, my wife said to me, what are you going to do with it? And I said, well, I don't know. So she said, we'll put it on eBay. So I put this dovecot on eBay and I got an email from this chap saying, can you make me a bigger one? And I wrote back and said, well, I'm sorry, I don't make dovecots for a living. Anyway, he emails back and he says, well, you might if you know who it's for. It's for Her Majesty the Queen. So I was, at that point, I was convinced that I'd have to make it. So
no pressure.
And you made the dovecot for the Queen?
Yes, I made the dovecot for the Queen. That was some years ago, which went into her walled garden in Sandringham. And then I made another one in lockdown, which I've just sold.
Fantastic. Sorry, PJ, you got a question?
I have to ask, how did he manage to persuade you that this really was an email from someone representing Her Majesty? Because quite frankly, I can see an outbreak of people ordering dovecots willy-nilly on all sorts of pretenses.
Yeah, well, it was just so far flung that I fell for it, really.
Have you seen the picture of it that's Andrew?
I went to the handover, so I there's a picture of me with it, yeah.
Oh, well, I think that just about seals it then, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Lance, if you got a photograph, we'd love to see a picture and put it on the show page. That's a fantastic story. Oh. Well done. And you've sold the other one you made during the lockdown?
Yes, yeah, that went.
Fantastic. Good stuff.
My wife wouldn't have that one in the garden either. So.
Thank you for that, Lance.
Maybe there's a sideline in selling doves.
Okay, let's thank you very much indeed, Kate and Betty and Bob and Lance. Let's move on to Rob. Now, Rob, interestingly enough, experience with three of the most famous sheds in the country, Whitby Sheds, Milton Keynes and Northampton. So maybe, Rob, tell us your shed story of through these this collection of sheds. I don't know what you call a collection of sheds, a gathering of sheds, I guess.
Triumvirate.
Triumvirate, yes.
Right, okay. Well, living in Northampton, it came to my attention that a shed was being set up in Milton Keynes, as you say, Patrick, by Peter Gallagher. And I thought, right, better go and have a look. And not really knowing what to expect, I was very surprised actually when I got there, because the premises for Milton Keynes was a large industrial unit on a large industrial estate. And I was welcomed in by Peter and quite surprised actually by the mixed age range. I was somehow expecting seniors, as we often do with our sheds, but at Milton Keynes there's a 50-50 split of young and old, which was quite refreshing and very different. And of course, realise why, and that's because of the unemployment situation in the area of Milton Keynes. And it provides an absolutely crucial asset, because these young guys without the shed, like us older guys, it's a great thing for them. And at when I attended, which wasn't for a long time, there was a guy there called Hines, who was a bit of a computer expert. So he, of course, was doing computer repair and computer literacy. And of course the younger guys really took to that and really got into it. And they were repairing their own computers. We were as well, the older guys. And also there was model making. They were building a lovely model railway. I don't know how that ever got on. But yeah, a great place.
They finished that one, Rob. I visited, but I don't know whether you came across somebody, it was in a little room on their own, and they were building a very rickety 3D printer out of, you know, bits of Meccano and odd pieces of wood. And I said, well, that looks ever so precarious. How on earth a shed is going to use that to print things? He said, no, I'm building that to build the parts for a 3D printer.
Absolutely amazing. No, I didn't come across that, but I know there was quite a bit of activity. When I left because I had some commitments at a part-time job, but they were doing ceramic printing mugs and plates, and they were starting the repair cafes, which are absolutely brilliant, brings broken things into mend. So it was going pretty well, actually.
Yeah, they did. They did convert a car to run on batteries in that shed, and I believe that car is still in there somewhere. It's a huge, huge shed.
I did see the chassis of that car, Patrick, and yeah, in the early days, and I was impressed. And as you say, the size of the premises that you can roll a car in.
Yeah.
Huge doors onto the back road. You could actually do anything in that place. It's so big and it's got so much.
So what led you to join the Milton Keynes shed originally?
Well, as I say, I lived in Northampton. There wasn't one in Northampton. So I looked around, sheds seemed a good idea. And Milton Keynes, 20 miles away, I thought, let's give it a go. But as I say, I had a few commitments and had to leave going to Milton Keynes. But then a little while, how long, a bit later, the Northampton shed started. Peter Gallagher got that together within the Spencer Contact premises, which is the large furniture reuse charity on a small industrial estate in Northampton. And they were kindly given some room inside their premises. And when I went, I mean, my first visit to Northampton shed, the industry, the factory industry environment was absolutely amazing. They were just churning out. Actually, they were making high-rise or high-level gardening stations for Workbridge, who's yet another charity in Northampton that assists the mentally ill and so on. And so they were just churning out these high-level gardening stations. And the connection with the community was so great. I mean, they're building these stations, the reuse, the Spencer Contract reuse charity, the men in sheds were helping with adapting bits of furniture. The whole thing was such a great team working together. I was very impressed with that.
And then, of course, now you've moved up to Whitby.
Yes, I mean, just over about a year, I think it's coming up to a year now, just over a year, I moved to Whitby, and I thought, right, well, by then I just retired and moved up north and was feeling a little bit isolated. I was looking around for some voluntary work, and I'd come across a few things like the food bank and some charity shops. And then I was told about not one shed in Whitby, but four. I mean, one in Whitby Central and three others in the surrounding villages. Went along, met Graham, and immediately made welcome, introduced to everybody. And within minutes, I felt part of that community.
Fantastic. I'm hoping Graham's on mute. Tell me what the kind of things that you experienced during those first few visits to the shed there in Whitby.
Sorry, Patrick, are you talking to me or Graham?
I am, Rob. No, I want Graham to stay quiet just for a moment.
Well, sorry.
Ask, Rob, is it your experiences going to the Whitby shed?
My first day at Whitby Sheds, I went in and say, Graham introduced me. And then we had a bit of an incident. One of the guys there, a newcomer actually, was unfortunately taken a little bit unwell. So the first thing we had to do was to get him to the hospital, which is literally 100 yards away. He was fine in the end. So Graham and I took him there. On the way back, Graham talked to me about my past, which is in electrical and mechanical engineering. He pointed me to a pile of new LED light fittings, which had arrived. He said, well, the first thing you do is get them up on the ceiling. So I think within days or weeks, I was putting the lights up. I was introduced to wood turning by Lance, who gave me some tutorials in wood turning. It was absolutely brilliant. We've been building bird boxes for Scarborough Council to put up on the cinder track walk, which is delayed a bit at the moment, but is ongoing. And now we're doing the kits for kids, which is the kits for children to make toys and games to bring the youngsters into it. And the thing about the Whitby shed that stands out for me is the connection within the community generally, that it's the shed has got an outreach into the community, and with the sowing the seeds for the new, what should we say, Froome type compassion project. It's very exciting what's coming up, I think.
Rob, thank you very much indeed. And Graham, congratulations on what you're doing there in the Whitby area. It's very impressive.
Congratulations on being able to tell people what to do.
Yeah. I mean, people. My experience is that shedders' skills sometimes need to be brought out into the open so that they can blossom and support. Sorry, Graham, you had a question.
Yeah, I mean, what he hasn't said, he came on that visit. I think it was the next day, or perhaps 2 days later. I received an email, which was a description of what had happened to him, how he'd found the shed, and, you know, his reactions to it. Now, I had been known to seed articles, say to people, would you mind? But I hadn't. He'd just done that off his own back. And it was so encouraging to see what he'd written. So, yeah, that's good. We all need encouragement of each other in all that we're doing. So I'm eternally thankful to Rob for writing me an email. First and last time, but...
I don't know. I think there's a quote from Joe Biden that says, if you've received compassionate support from people for yourself, you know how valuable it is. And if you've received it from others, you know that giving it to others is equally important. And I think one of the things that I find is that often shed leaders do not get they're forever looking after other people, and from time to time they need looking after themselves. And so I would ask people for their, you know, their stalwart community group leaders, you know, just make sure they're okay. There's a program in Australia called Checkmate, and it says check with your mates. Don't just check with the mates that are sad or miserable or depressed. Check with the ones that appear happy and busy. Check on everybody and also look after yourself. So, Rob, I don't think you know the value of that particular email in terms of, you know, compassion and support to Graham. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Peter. It's one of those things that I think, you know, is not just restricted to sheds. We should all say thank you to more people more often. It's been, from a personal point of view, I've been able to say thank you to people sometimes 30, 40 years later. And they very much appreciated it. And I've suddenly realized how valuable it was to me to thank them. Yeah. And that's something to bear in mind.
I think especially during these particular times. I mean, Andy Ryland from South Yorkshire, I think, said, look, be intentional about this stuff. Pick up the phone, you know, send the email and just do it, you know. And as I repeated before, I left a voicemail for somebody just recently and they didn't reply. And I've got a strategy where I do not follow up on unreplied emails or voicemails, because you never know what's happening in other people's lives. And I've had an email back from this individual, a long email that says, I'm very sorry, Patrick, I didn't get back to you. I'd like to have done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but I'm suffering from an inoperable cancer. And he told me a story, you know. And so if you're not getting replies from people or you're not getting called back, do not naturally assume that they're just ignoring you. They may have the troubles of their own. Anything else that people would like to cover?
I think communities are not, you know, I'm passionate about them. And I just want to say that, you know, during these very difficult times since March, people have really pulled together, and there's been some, you know, fantastic work done to actually deliver meals, to pick up prescriptions and deliver prescriptions, take shopping, and telephone befriending, just generally to support people. And, you know, I work with different groups who are doing this week in, week out, and just giving up, and volunteers giving up huge amount of time. And, you know, I can't imagine what we'd have done without them. So, you know, it's just really just hats off to communities who look after the people that are most vulnerable, most needed, young and old. And so it's just again, the power of communities and how they can support each other in these really difficult times. Everyone finds it hard, and yet some people manage to give up huge swathes of time to support people and to make people's lives just a little bit better. And I think without that across the country, I'm sure, you know, it will be hard to just imagine what it'd be like without that support.
Karen, thank you for those sentiments and those views. And we're going to be needed more than ever going forward over the next 6 to 9 months. Sorry, Graham, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to, if it's all right, say a thank you to Kate, because she's moving on. Well, at the end of this programme, I'd like to thank Kate Gordon very much indeed. She's been admirable in the shed context, as far as I'm concerned. She's been very dedicated to her task. It was a very big task, actually, to act as a bit of a front woman to Men's Shed Movement. And it's a bit of a testimony, really. I know it's the same in Australia. It's the women, actually, that are up front doing these things very often to actually help men. And I want to thank Kate for what she has been in the way of a support to many, many sheds, pushing the cause, but also personal support that she's given me. And occasionally I've been able to lend to her. This is what we need. This is compassion, actually, in action. So thank you very much indeed, Kate, for all that you've done for us here.
Thank you very much, Graham. Well, of course, you were the original spark of interest, weren't you, in the idea of going on a shed adventure. And Yeah, I guess to echo, I guess, a thank you back to the Shed Movement. I have never, ever learned so much from so many inspiring individuals. You guys are social entrepreneurs, and I think it's amazing to see, you know, what is an older generation genuinely trying to create positive change in their community, and men helping men and trying to raise the profile of men speaking out and saying, you know, actually, I'm feeling lonely. I want friendship. I want to learn. I want to be part of something. So, yeah, I have never learned or laughed so much as well. It's been a lot of laughter. You guys are very playful. You go back to kind of default playfulness. And yeah, I feel very, 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 very proud to have been part of it. So, yeah, thank you for having me. And I'll continue to bang the Shed drum wherever I go. It's in the blood now.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that. And I have to say, that is the end of the show. This has been this week's Shed Happens on Froom FM 96.6 and online at froom.fm. Big thanks to Shedders Graham Storer, Bob Hodge, Betty Ward, Lance Garrard and Robert Shilson, and to Karen Atkinson from Stronger Communities and North Yorkshire Council. Thank you very much. And also to Kate, obviously, and I echo Graham's kind words, and we'll... on the next few shows, we'll probably put something together special for Kate. We shall see. And also from PJ and from me. So that's it for today. Thanks very much for listening. We would love to hear from you. Please email us at shedhappens@ukmsa.uk or visit shedhappens.uk.
Cheers, guys. Good to meet you. Keep up the good work.
Goodbye, everyone. Well, until next time.
All right. Okay, so
now we're going to close with a Whitby Shed song. My thanks to Phil Smith of Tunesmithy Bay. Tunesmithy Bay is a music and animation production studio based at the Bogglehole Studio in Robin Hood's Bay. Do check them out on Facebook or YouTube. Bye-bye.
Now there is a town, Yorkshire Fisherman's Town, a town that James Cook once called home. He sailed out to sea from the port of Whitby to Australia, he did roam. Good lasses and lads, raise your glasses and cheer. With each day is a little bit hand in hand. We are shedders together, we are shedders forever. From the border of the coast here we stand. Putting the cloth, turning the lathe, spinning the potter's wheel. We are shedders together, we are shedders forever. Like a ship with an even keel. Good lasses and lads, raise your glasses and cheer. Companions we work hand in hand. We are shedders together, we are shedders forever. From the moor and the dale here we stand. Putting the cloth, turning the lathe, spinning the potter's wheel. We are shedders together, we are shedders forever. Like a ship with an eel.